Turn with me, if you would, now to 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1. I have so much enjoyed looking at the first verse and a half of this book so far. And tonight we're going to look at the other half of verse 2. 1 Timothy 1, verse 1 says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope, unto Timothy, my own son in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father in Jesus Christ our Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father in Jesus Christ our Lord. When we have a moment to enter into that, is that not amazing? Is that not amazingly wonderful? Grace, mercy, and peace. I think about the fact that often as I study this, I have time to just ponder. I have blocks of time that we don't have right here. Pray the Lord will give you blocks of time after this. And recall it to your mind, because it is truly glorious to hear that announcement from God. I've titled this message, Three of the Sweetest Words Ever Spoken. And I want to make sure I clarify that these are three of the sweetest words ever spoken. If I had to pick the three sweetest words ever spoken, I would have to say they were Lord Jesus Christ. Here are three more along those lines: Father, Son, and Spirit. We won't count the and. We just sang Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Sweetest name I know. That's the sweetest name I know. How many words do we have from the mouth of God that collectively make up the sweetest words ever spoken? Here are three of them: grace, mercy, and peace. Paul said, Timothy, that's what I desire for you. And that's what I desire for us. That's what I desire for you, and that's what I desire for me. Knowing something of what the Lord has revealed to us about eternity. This is the life that we currently live in. And in His appointed time, on His appointed day, in His appointed way, we're going to leave this place and we're going to cross into eternity. Eternity is coming. And knowing the judgment that awaits, knowing the strictness that awaits, knowing that we don't have time to play games, it is amazing to hear these precious, precious words from our Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace. That's what I want for us. I don't want one soul here to miss God's grace, God's mercy, and God's peace. I don't want one soul here. A congregation of people gathers around the Word together. I want every soul here to enter into the Word together. I do not want you children to grow up and leave the Word of God and miss Christ. Don't miss Christ. I deeply desire this for us. I cannot speak more sincerely than I am right now. I want this for us. This is what Paul said he wanted for Timothy because he loved that man so much. And I love you and I love me. And I want that for us. I do. I deeply desire that. Now, here is the reason why these words are among the sweetest of all words. And this is the reason why I desire them. We may or may not realize this, but by nature, we don't deserve any of those words. People take those words for granted. We say they roll off the tongue, and sometimes they just roll into the ear, and everybody assumes, oh yeah, grace, mercy, and peace. By nature, this sinner and we sinners do not deserve any of these words. None of them. By nature, because of what we have done and because of what we are, all that we deserve and all that we are owed is justice, wrath, and judgment. And that's the truth. Vengeance, punishment. That's the truth. Outside of Christ, that's all that a sinner is going to have coming to him or her. Justice, wrath, and judgment. A demand will be made. A strict condition of justice will be set forth for each person. And when that condition is not met by the sinner, and I'll go ahead and tell us all, we cannot meet the demands of God. God has given his demands. We don't meet them. We do not hold up. This is the strict demands of justice. And when we do not meet these demands, when we cannot meet what God has demanded of us, the wrath of God will be kindled. It will be. And the judgment of God will come down. This is what God will pour out. He will pour out his judgment. That's what will happen to every soul outside of Christ. Because that's what every soul on this earth has earned and deserves from God. Justice, wrath, and judgment for all of our sin. I'm a sinner. I have sinned. I do sin. I will sin. The wages of sin is justice, wrath, judgment, death. What if that's what that verse said? God wrote this book. And what if that's what, we just read it. It's in everybody's Bible. We're all holding the same book and it all says the same thing. What if that's what that verse said? What if verse 2 said, unto Timothy, my own son in the faith, justice, wrath, and judgment from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. Thank God it doesn't say that. Thank God, in Christ, that is not what's coming to a soul. And the reason is because Christ, for his people, he came to this world to take and to fulfill all of that justice, wrath, and judgment of God. He took it all. He took it all for the sin of his people on himself. We have all sinned. And for every soul the Father gave to Christ and said, you save them. I trust you. I trust you to do it. The one who first trusted in Christ. For every soul Christ came and did this for, he bore everybody. He stood in their place. He stood in their sin. And he bore every bit of that. Justice, wrath, and judgment. He suffered it. He endured all of it. for His people. So in Christ, with all of that being satisfied, this is all that's left for God to pour out on His people. Because He poured out all that judgment on Christ, all of it to the last drop. All that's left for Him to pour out on His people is grace, mercy, and peace. That's all that's left. Can we not say, thank God for Christ? Those are four sweet words. Thank God for Christ. That's what heaven will be crying for all eternity. Thank God for Christ. Here are three more sweet words. I wrote down some sweet words here. Substitution, satisfaction, redemption. God's people sinned, and Christ came to be their substitute. Christ didn't come to show them the way. Christ didn't come to plead and beg with them to follow Him. He came to be their substitute. And as their substitute, He satisfied God and redeemed a place for all of His people. Here are three more sweet words. Complete in Him. Here are three more sweet words. Paid in full. It's all paid in full. Here are three more. Free at last. Free at last. Sin came and condemnation came and bondage came. Free at last. Oh, what Christ accomplished for us. The glory of what Christ accomplished for us. Grace, mercy, and peace. Now, what is grace? When we mention that word, what are we talking about? People hear the word grace and it sounds good and it sounds religious and it sounds nice. What is it? What are we talking about when we say grace? The definition of that word is benefit. You ever had a job that had benefits? It means favor. It means gift. It is a benefit. It is a favor. It's a gift. It is a kindness shown. That's what it is. A kindness shown. Let me see if I can illustrate that in this way. When you receive a bill for something that you owe, okay, you get a bill. There will be a due date set, stamped on it for when payment is due. All right? It'll tell you how much you owe and the day that you owe it. All right? That's the strict justice right there. Sometimes, though, the creditor will freely give you 10 days or so. Generally, it's 10 days. Where if you cannot make your payment, no penalty will come to you. No wrath will come to you. No punishment will come to you. And you know what those 10 days are called? It's called a grace period. A grace period. It's a free gift of extra days, extra time. That's what it is. Now, does the company who gives a grace period, does that company owe that extended time to you? No. And God does not owe anybody anything. You know that? God does not owe anybody anything. Man, you know, expects God to do things for him and to save him and to prepare a place for him as though God owed him something. God doesn't owe man anything. And to come back to our illustration here, this creditor does not owe us 10 extra days. He doesn't owe us that time. Concerning that amount of time, do you have to do anything to earn it? Is it say on the bill that you have to do something to earn those 10 days? No. Does that extra time end up costing you? Will they add anything to your bill for that extra time? Here's the answer. It's no if it's a true grace period. Not if it's a true grace period. Of their own will and their own kindness and their own benefit, their own favor, they just freely give it to you. That's what grace is. That's what grace is. The gift of those days, the gift of that time, that gift is grace. The free favor, that free kindness. Okay, that's grace. To keep going, that removal of judgment, that removal of penalty, the removal of punishment. They said, this is how much you owe. This is the day you owe it. Removal of all penalty for not being able to make the payment on that day. That's mercy. That's grace. And that's mercy. Grace is getting what we don't deserve. That time, those days. Mercy is not getting what we do deserve, which is punishment and penalty and wrath and judgment. For not being able to pay what we owe. We have incurred a debt to God and we can't pay it. We cannot pay Him what we owe. Now, in the case of this illustration, the argument could be made, well, it's only for 10 days. That's all it is. It's just for 10 days. What if you still don't have the ability to pay it? After those 10 days, you're in the same boat you were when you started. Well, what if someone had the ability to make it so that you never had to leave the grace period? What if somebody had that ability? What if someone put you in the grace period? And then had the ability to extend the grace period for all of eternity. What if someone had the ability to make it so that no penalty and no punishment and no judgment could come to you for a payment that you could not pay? What if someone had the ability to make it so that no penalty could come to you for all of eternity? What if someone had the ability to make it so that you never had to leave that time of mercy and grace for all of eternity? What would that mean to you? What would that create in you if you knew you never had to step out of that time? What would that create? Peace. Peace. Absolute peace. That's what Jesus Christ did for His people. He put them in the grace period. He put them in the mercy period, the peace period. And He secured it for them so that they would never have to leave. That's what we have in Christ. We have grace, mercy, and peace. Forever. Forever. Not just now, but forever. That's what the Scripture keeps saying. Now and forever. An eternal grace period. Eternal mercy. Peace forever. Forever. Turn with me over to Psalm 23. Psalm 23, verse 6, it says, surely goodness, grace, kindness, favor. That free gift. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. All the days of my life. Forever. Look with me at Psalm 136. Psalm 136, verse 1 says, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever." Isn't that great news? Forever. It doesn't run out. It doesn't run out. I was so thankful the other day for my health. And the thought went through my mind, I better be thankful for it right now while I can be, because it's going to run out. I can be thankful for this life on earth, and I better enjoy it while I can, because it's going to run out. That car I'm driving is going to run out. And we could go on and on and on with everything that we know in life. Not mercy. Not grace. There will be no end to it. There is no cutoff point. It'll never run out. Verse 2 says, "Oh, give thanks unto the God of gods, for his mercy endureth forever." Verse 3 says, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords." Why? "For his mercy endureth forever." This is a wonderful psalm. Look at the end of verse 4. "His mercy endureth forever." The end of verse 5, "His mercy endureth forever." Verse 6, "His mercy endureth forever." Verse 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16. Every one of them, "His mercy endureth forever." That's why his mercy endures forever. Forever. "His grace endures forever. His mercy endures forever. Therefore, the result of his grace and his mercy endures forever." Turn with me over to Isaiah chapter 9. Isaiah 9, verse 6, it says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." Who is that talking about? Jesus Christ. That's who Jesus Christ is. He is the Wonderful Counselor. He is the Mighty God. He is the Everlasting Father. He is the Prince of Peace. Now watch verse 7. I love this. It says, "And of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end." I love how it doesn't just say, "of his government and peace, there shall be no end." But it says, "of the increase." He's just going to increase and increase and increase. He's just going to keep increasing. The peace is going to increase and increase. It's just going to be so much peace. There's going to be no end. It will not ever have an end. That is glorious. That's just glorious. How can we be assured of this? How can we know this is so? We'll look back at our text, 1 Timothy chapter 1. The end of verse 2 says, "It's because this grace, mercy, and peace is from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. Our Lord. You know what that means? That means this is sovereign grace. Not just grace. This is coming from God the Father, God our Father, and Jesus Christ our Lord. What does Lord mean? It means highest God in control, ruler of all, doing whatever He wants with whoever He wants. If He says it, it's done. This is sovereign grace. What does sovereign grace mean? That means it comes from God to whom God wants to give it to. And if He wants to give it to them, they're going to get it. That's what it means. This is sovereign grace. This is sovereign mercy. This is sovereign peace. From God, with God. Outside of Christ, we're at enmity against God. That's what the Scripture says. That means we're the enemies of God. We don't even know it. And Christ made peace with God for us before we ever even knew it. We're just notified. It's from God, it's with God, it's in God. The gracious and merciful God. Let me just show you a couple more verses here. Go with me to 1 Peter 5. First Peter 5, verse 10. It says, "But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you have suffered a while, He'll make you perfect, and He'll establish you and strengthen you and settle you. To Him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen." To know the Lord God is to know all grace. To have the Lord our God is to have all grace. It is to receive the gift of His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, with Christ Jesus, in Christ Jesus. All grace is in Him. All of it. If we're going to be in God's grace, period, we're going to have to be in Christ. Lord, put us in Christ. Please put us in Christ. He is the only place grace is found. He is the grace. He is the gift. He is the God of all grace. All right, now turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Second Corinthians 1 verse 1 says, "Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timothy our brother, unto the church of God which is at Corinth, with all the saints which are in Achaia, grace be to you and peace." Grace and peace. "From God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ." Watch verse 3. "Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort. Grace and peace be to you because of the Father of mercies." What is mercy? Christ is mercy. The Father of Christ is the Father of mercy. He is the source of all mercy, all relief from penalty and punishment. Every bit of that relief is found in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. To know Him is to know mercy. To have Him is to have mercy. If we're going to be in the period of time of God's mercy, I think about that story where He said, "Thy time was a time of love." If we're going to be in that time of His grace, His mercy, His peace, His love, we're going to have to be in Christ. He is the God of mercy. And verse 3 goes on to say, He is the God of all comfort. That's peace. Turn to one more. Go to Hebrews 13. Hebrews 13, verse 20, it says, "Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do His will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in His sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen." The God of peace through the blood of Christ. Christ is the one who made peace through everything that He suffered, everything that He bore, all of the judgment and punishment and penalty that He bore for His people. To know Him is to know peace. To have Him is to have peace. If we're going to be in God's never-ending haven of peace, we're going to have to be in Christ. He is the God of peace. Grace, mercy, and peace. Paul said, "Timothy, I pray that for you. I pray that for you. I pray that for us. I pray God might cause us to know the grace, the mercy, and the peace of His glorious salvation that is in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ." Truly. May He truly reveal that to us. All right, let's all stand together.